Total eclipse of the heart. What up, everybody? Today's the eclipse. I hope everybody's gonna go enjoy it. I hope you're gonna watch it with no sunglasses on. That would be the best. And then find out what happened is that in New Hampshire, in like northern New Hampshire, we have like a thing called mud season. And we had a nor'easter, so like it took out all the power lines because there's nothing but fucking trees up here. All I see is trees for days. So in any event, Eversource can't get shit out and things like that. So you got all these people that want to come up to New Hampshire, right? And you know, I get everybody talking about FEMA and how they're planning for states of emergencies and all these things and stuff like that. You know, you got 1,000. If you got a town that's fucking holds 5,000, and you get an extra influx of 3,000 people, that's a lot of gas they're gonna take out of, you know, your local, you know, gas station and shit like that. And problems can arise from there. They can get stuck in the mud. They told these people, like, if you come up here, you're gonna be fucking out there. If you get stuck, you're gonna be out there for days. Do you know what I mean? There's so much shit going on. So in any event, happy eclipse to everybody. But so I guess everybody's already in the know about Puffy. So along with Puffy, like if we just look at Puff Daddy, you're looking at hip hop royalty. Do you know what I mean? In a sense that everything that hip hop is based off of comes from him and one other person. That other person that we want to talk about is in jail in the West Coast. Okay. So Suge Knight is the other character I'm talking about. So between Suge Knight and Puff Daddy, Biggie and Pac has this is that was the found that laid the foundation for hip hop. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if. So I want to know who's talking, right? So here's the deal. So you got Jay-Z, Obama, Spacey, Maxwell, Epstein, fucking Weinstein, all these guys, right? And who's talking? So Suge Knight's talking. And is Suge Knight, Puffy, are they still in a beef, you think? Or is this now, you know, part of the, you know, ruse, if you will. Okay. Because I didn't know that Suge Knight literally has a fucking podcast in the shoe in Pelican Bay. So every time, like, so the last few weeks I'm watching, like, I'll go on YouTube and watch Suge Knight and I'm hearing him and he's on a jailhouse call. So I'm like, okay, so he must be talking to like one of his family members and, you know, just relaying shit, just putting shit out, just talking, right? And then I come to find out that, you know, so I watch a PVD podcast and they're talking about Suge and how he has a fucking platform. So I'm like, okay, so he has a platform in California, right? In jail. I says, that is fucking total bullshit. That is total fucking bullshit. It's bullshit on every level, because you know why? And I'm gonna lay it out for you. So Suge has a, just keep that in mind. So Suge has a, Suge has, we're gonna get to the nuts and bolts of this real quick. So Suge has a platform, and is Suge and Puffy being protected by the hip hop elites or the labels that potentially own a ton of stock in GS4? Which is a private jail that was purchased from Whackin' Hut. So Whackin' Hut was like the first private jail, you know, complex out in like in Florida, I think, like Juniper, Florida or something. And he had a contract, and you know, and then this company GS4 bought it. Okay. So when GS4 bought private jails, you have to. Do you want to go? So they have private jails, and so what what happens is in these private jails. So I don't know if anybody's been to jail, but if you ever went to jail before the private jails really got enacted, like really like that, and started, you know, spreading their tentacles over. So the private jail system owns about 8% of America's inmates. Okay, so 8% of America's inmates are housed in private jails right now. One of those big backers, right? No bullshit. This is no word of a lie. I was in jail, right? We got our jumpsuits, and do you know whose name was on the fucking tag? You this will floor you. I mean, some people might know, some people might not. Bob fucking Barker. Okay? Bob Barker bought an enormous amount of, I don't know how many shares he bought, but I think he, to get your name on the freaking prison wear, after you, you know, so Bob Barker, before he buys private jails, stocks of private jails, he started this whaling thing, like, you know, like, I don't know if you guys remember Whale Wars and fucking, and on Discovery Channel, and they, you know, he donated all this money to these ships to stop the whaling, you know, the illegal whaling that was happening up near like Prudhoe Bay off the coast of Alaska and things of that nature, right? So he started that little foundation. Next thing you know, you hear of him owning fucking private jails, and I'm looking in the back of the thing and it says, yeah, Bob Barker. So I'm like, you gotta be shitting me, Bob Barker? Now, one of those private jails are held in the area that I live in. So when I got picked up on an outstanding warrant, I went to this place and they gave me the jumpsuit, and I see Bob Barker and I'm like, is this really fucking Bob Barker? Like Bob Barker, Barker? Like the price is right, Bob Barker? Yeah. It's a private jail now. And I says, oh really? Okay. So what the fuck does that mean? You got to buy your own toilet paper, your own socks, your own pillow, your own blanket. If you're cold, you got to buy underwear. You know, you didn't have to buy that shit back. So, like, in a state-funded prison system, you're going to get plenty of, you're going to get, like, you know, three pairs of underwears, two pairs of socks, two pairs of jumpsuits. You know what I mean? Your clothes would, you know, we could get, at least where I was in an Old Colony correctional facility in Mass, we would get, you know, like three pairs of drawers, three pairs of socks, so you could have one on rotation, one on the back burner, and the one you're wearing, right? So, toilet paper wasn't an issue. You'd go to the guard station, and they'd have a toilet paper roll sitting there. They push it through the bars, and you grab as much as you need, okay? So, like, when people went to take a shit, you don't know how much you're going to need. You don't know how messy it's going to be, right? Correct. So, you just grab and grab and grab and grab. So, you're just, like, pulling, like, a half a roll, right? Guards don't say nothing. I get picked up on the outstanding warrant. They ship me down to Rhode Island to another private jail. And that's when it all made fucking sense. So when I got in there, I was on I was getting off of drugs, so I was on some boxes. And so of course when I got arrested, I wasn't on a prescription form of them. I was just buying them off the streets to stay sober. So when they picked me up, I had to obviously go through withdrawals and it sucked, right? So I'm shitting myself, throwing up, no blanket, got shorts on. It's like, you know, it was like fucking like the first week of April, and then I get pinched, and then I'm down in Rhode Island and I'm freezing in the cell. My body's going through all these fucking changes and everything, right? I'm not looking for a sad story. I'm just telling you. So then they say, okay, we're going to bring you to AOC or something, one of the jails down in Rhode Island. Once we got there, bro, I get into a room with a guy, and I'm like, he's like, well, what's the matter with you? Are you kicking? And I says, yeah, like a fucking madman, bro, I'm dying. You know what I mean? And I'm like, so I'm like, where's the toilet paper? He shows me a half a roll of toilet paper. I says, that's not going to be enough. Like right now, that's not going to be enough. So I'm going to go knock on the door. He goes, bro, they only give us two rolls a week. I'm like, you're shitting me. I says, they give you two rolls of toilet paper a week here? Now, mind you, the last time I was in a state prison was like 15 years ago. You know what I mean? So I did something, and then, you know, the warrant came back to haunt me like 5 years later, right? So I beat the case nonetheless. So I'm like, you're kidding me. Two fucking rolls of toilet paper a week? I'm kicking drugs. So the cadre comes through, right? Or whatever, the pod manager, whatever the fuck you want to call him, right? So he comes over and I'm like, yo, fam, listen. I says, I'm kicking drugs. I'm kicking. So I says, you're going to have to give me another roll of toilet paper because I'm shitting myself. I'm blowing my nose. It's just a mess in here, dude. And I feel bad for this guy that has to deal with it, right? So, you know, I already talked to him. Like, hey, bro, this is what it is. He already knew what was up and what was coming down the pike. But I says, at this time, I says, I'm pretty much good, you know. And so, but it's just, so what happens is that, so now you're sitting there. You get into jail, right? You're in a bad state. You're looking for some fucking food, first off. You can't eat. None of that food is edible, all right? I mean, it's edible, but it's disgusting edible, like disgusting. There is no taste in a lasagna. The pizza's cold. Your grilled cheese is gonna be cold. Your chicken's gonna look like fucking like a little quail. You know what I mean? Like, it's just disgusting, right? So in all these jails, okay, at least in the private jail system, and this is what I'm gonna tie into, is that Suge has to be getting protected. Okay, he has to be. And so isn't Puffy. I doubt nothing will happen with Puffy because he got a license to kill for him being an informant. We all know this from, like, Mobb Deep. Oh, yeah, nothing but the hip-hop cops up in here. They all knew it. They all fucking knew it. Okay, even 50, who knows what he is. But my question is, if Puff Daddy is a fucking FBI informant, right, then who are you going after? Why do you have him as your informant, and who are you going after? Who's the bigger fish? What is the other fish that you're trying to catch through Sean? Like, are you going after Sugar? Are you going after Jay? Are you going after fucking, you know, who are you going after? The royal family? I mean, who is it that they want to allow Sean to get an informant fucking class and then to just, you know, plunder and pillage through the people through the industry, and that's okay because he's an informant? So something, it's either he went off the deep rails and he started videotaping, and maybe the feds didn't know that he started videotaping shit, so all these dignitaries and preachers and royalty and presidents alike, they go to these parties along with Kanye, J-Lo, Shine. All of them are going to get friggin' into court. All of them are going to get into court, right? So if you keep peeling back in this onion, you look at it and you say, if you peel back this onion, you're going to destroy whatever hip-hop legacy is right now. Which I know a lot of people don't really care, but I look at it and I say, it's like taking down a fucking America, if you will. Now you're going to take out Puffy, and then so what happens to Suge? Like, you know what I mean? This guy's been around murders, been around gangsters, been around FBI informants, with the whole fucking Rampart scandal. I mean, come on. If that doesn't show that he's a fucking fed, I don't know what does. And then here's the kicker. Here is the fucking kicker. When you go to jail nowadays in a private jail setting, they're gonna give you an ID, and they're gonna give you a fucking PIN number for your phone. Okay, now here's the catch. When you get in there, they're going to give you a piece of paper right away, and they're going to say, put everybody that you want on the phone that you want to talk to. Okay, because we got to vet them first. So your name, address, the phone number, it all has to line up and with their IDs. So what's my point? Okay, so when Suge gets in there, and GTL, which is the fucking, which is the telecommunications link that runs the private jail system, and you get the, oh, hey, you know, this conversation could be recorded for 35 fucking seconds and all that catch, right? Where is all, first off, how does GTL allow Suge Knight to talk on the phone like that? On end, where's the commissary coming from, first off? And then, who is getting paid off the YouTube videos that he's getting putting up with his little avatar sitting there? Like, that is some production putting in there, people. You know what I mean? So, like, who's getting money out of this? Is it GTL? Is it the private prison system? Because now this guy is literally sitting on a platform talking about the shit that's happening with Puffy and saying, oh, you know, hey, you might just want to give yourself up and da-da-da-da-da and, you know, because your life is in danger, this and that. And I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, how is this guy even so, like, again, so I'm like, oh, he must be talking to a family member because they have to be cleared. You can't just say, oh, I want to talk to Bobby Flay. And they're going to say, oh, okay, put in Bobby Flay's number. No. And the thing is that when Suge got in there, he has to say Suge Knight or whatever, or Marion White, whatever his fucking first name is. But he has to say that three times so the voice recognition system will understand that it's him when he gets on next time he gets on the phone and he wants to place a call. And then that money comes out of, you know, you fucking can't, you know, out of your little stat, your little account you got. Okay? So he's burning minutes, and we're talking high price fucking minutes. Literally high price minutes. I mean, if that guy talks for a half hour, it's gotta be costing $80, if not more. You know, you figure it's like $3 just to make the call, and then all of a sudden he's just gonna sit there and start yapping. You know, this line's being recorded by the, you know, the state and da 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 da. Okay, great, you edit that, but you can't tell me that none of that. You can't tell me that the GTO, the global telephone link, doesn't know that Suge Knight is an informant. Like, how does he get that? So why doesn't nobody call up GTL and say, hey, how do you give Suge Knight a fucking platform? And who's getting paid for it? Who's getting paid out of this? Because not only that, then the videos are getting thrown on fucking YouTube. Okay? And I don't know how many times he runs this little podcast. I think it's like the Collect Call. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh wow, collect call. That's how fucking convenient. But how do you still able to make a collect call to the person you're talking to without it being ran through the gamut through GTL? And especially what you're talking about is insane. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're perpetuating the fucking shit is what I'm getting at. So you're perpetuating this shit. GTL's letting it go by. The private system, jail system loves it because the recidivism rate on hip hop is fucking, you know, by none. Right. So, you know, you listen to these songs and you say, oh, Jesus, what the fuck? So with all of Suge Knight's gangster affiliations, this, that, and the third, he's able to have a fucking complete platform in jail, and you're telling me no other inmate is pissed off about that? I don't care if it was Suge or whoever. You're in jail, pal. You're a piece of meat at the end of the day. There's no way you're gonna fucking. He's got to be in PC. He's got to be. Because somebody's going to say, look, Suge's out here talking collect calls. We can't even call our fucking mothers if we wanted to. So how does this cat just get off and just, you know, push off a collect call? It's because he's part of the foundation. He's part of the foundation. You keep peeling back this onion, you're going to find out there's a new onion underneath it. And you're just going to keep peeling it and peeling it and peeling it. And it's nothing but a fucking rat. It's nothing but a mouse stuck in a rat wheel. So, you know, that's one part of it. You got, now, the first gangster rap song was in like 1989. And I caught this off the PBD podcast. Now, in 89, I was 9 years old, right? So at that time, I was probably listening to, like, LL Cool J. He was one of the top things. And then, right around 91, came the shit. Fuck the Police, we know that by Ice Cube, right? We know about Cop Killer, which was brought out by Ice-T. Okay, so the first two gangster, like, rappers, Ice Cube and Ice-T, right? Now, at that time, when that stuff, when Cop Killer, when that shit just came out and NWA was coming out, right? You really didn't have much to pull from as far as, you know, oh, where did I see this? What are they talking about when they mean product? What are they talking about when they mean rocks? You know, if you wasn't in the inner city or if you were still young, you were naive to all this. Until one fucking movie came around. And that was New Jack City. And New Jack City had the Cop Killer, which is now playing the role of a cop, an undercover cop, which only 20 years to then play the same fucking role as a cop in Law and Order. So are you a cop this whole time, or are you not a whole cop this whole time, right? Because you can make a song called Cop Killer. Cube can make a song called Fuck the Police, and nobody gets in trouble. You know, nobody finds that fucked up. So, in those times, we had Rodney King. We started getting New Jack City. We started getting Juice. We started getting Boys in the Hood. And we started seeing these familiar faces. Ice-T, Ice Cube, fucking Wesley Snipes, and so on and so forth, right? So now, in 94, you got white boys running around, feeling themselves, talking about, all the stuff that they're rehearsing, and take off, saying, hey, take off your gun and your badge, and you're not a punk, and I'm gonna fuck you up or something like that with Ice Cube's lyrics, Cop Killer, and, you know, back then, we were like, oh, yeah, because they just, you know, they just wanted, now, back in Boston, we had race wars in my town. So in my city and Everett, we had race wars. So even though white boys was listening to black music, society wasn't totally on board with that yet. Okay, because it was just like a rebel bat sign for African Americans to say, yeah, you know, fuck the police. You know what I mean? They just want to slap a dude up against the friggin', you know, up against the car or beat somebody down in the middle of the street. And so on and so forth. Or stick a plunger up somebody's ass, the rubber side up like they did Louima. There's a lot of shit, okay? So now what happened was it seemed like, you know, white boys that were listening were starting to feel like that they had to defend, you know, in some instances. Because here they are listening to this music that's really not from them. And then singing it outside would almost like offend somebody, because now what are you trying to be? Some kind of quote unquote wigger? Do you know what I'm saying? So that's where that phrase came up. So through like 96, you got Biggie, you got Pac, that whole shit flies down the fucking tubes. Puffy's doing his things. White boys are feeling like they're black and so on and so forth. So now we have hip-hop turning fun, because now white America is involved. And the only reason why white America was involved, because we found this one cat called Eminem. We tried it with other ones like Informer. We tried it with Third Base. We tried it with Bubba Sparks. There just wasn't nobody that had that it factor until M comes out. Okay? Once that happened, hip-hop turned white. Okay? Now everybody at this point, 2001, 2002, everybody's, you know, dropping N-bombs. I don't care if you're white or black, they're still dropping N-bombs. Even when I went to Rhode Island, I got white kids saying to me, yo, what's good? I'm like, yo, fam, first off, I don't play that game. Like, here's the deal. You're too lily white for me to even believe that you could say that, okay? I'm not saying about anything, but I've got passes through the hood, like, to say what I want, but I would never use that, like, in a way. If you get me very upset, the hood's gonna come out of me, and I'm gonna say shit that is gonna, oh my god, like, is he fucking black? And that's just because that was what was instilled in us. That's how deep this music resonates with some people, okay? And I know a lot of people that are in my age bracket that are out of the curse of this music because they don't listen to it daily, all right, like they was when they was kids. They wasn't trying to find their identities, and all this other shit that we go through as teenagers and young adults. So now we're all in our 40s, and we're sitting here and we listen to these music, they listen to this music and the lyrics, and we're like, holy shit! Now you really hear what you're hearing, and you're like, man, I have kids. Like, I can't believe I was saying half this shit. You know what I mean? Like, you can't believe you were saying half this shit. And thinking maybe the way you were thinking, as in savage, in the most savagery ways of, hey, if you got to get money, you got to do what you got to do. Sell crack to the little kids. Hey, it's just the way it is. Like that, you know what I mean? Like, those lyrics make big, big impacts. And so does it words. Do you know what I mean? So, if you believe in magic, words have power. If you believe in anything, words have power. So fuck your sticks and stones and all that shit. Words have power. And these people know this. So I don't know if you guys... what I wanted to get at is that the hip-hop industry was created to, looks like to keep, African-Americans in check. Okay? But then once it started spilling over to the white side, they said, oh, shit. Damn, we can now we're doubling up. Okay, so the private jail system gets created. Global Link, Global GTL is running the show. And there's one other key component to all this. When you're in jail, you get a thing like Carmicell, okay? And there's only one company, one distributor, that runs all the jails, and that's Keefe. All right, we all know about Keefe. We all know about, Chihuahua, fucking hot sauce, and Cactus Annie's. Shout out to Cactus Annie, wherever you be at. Because without Cactus Annie and the cheese on the lasagna, you guys already know. Your Bam Bams ain't going to be good. So, and I'm sure you guys see this on YouTube. There's a guy that cooks, everything in jail. Some of the weirdest meals that I ever created in jail tend to be the most delicious because you're so fucking hungry in jail that you would eat a cat, okay? You don't get commissary, you're gonna starve. You are gonna starve. You're getting up at 7, you're eating, you're going to lunch at 11, and then you're eating at 5. You're done. That's it, till next morning. You're starving, okay? I don't care who you are, you're starving. So what happens is the COs, I talk to the cadre and I says, hey, can I get that, remember I said, I get the two rolls, a couple of rolls, I need some extra toilet paper here, I'm fucking shit myself. Because what I did is I unrolled the toilet paper off the roll and I just gave him the empty roll and I looked at, I says, the roll's gone already, bro. I says, he goes, what? And I'm like, what? I'm puking, I'm shit, what the fuck? So the CO comes up and he comes to the door and I says, hey, what's up? He goes, you need toilet paper? And I says, yeah, I'm dying here. And he's like, all right, he goes, listen, you guys only get two rolls a week. And I says, okay. And I says, so what happens after the two rolls? He goes, well, you have to buy it on commissary. And I'm like, what? So I'm looking at the kid, and he goes, yeah, it's a private jail. And I says, this one's a private jail too? And he goes, yeah, that's why they don't give us the toilet paper, because what they're doing with the CEOs, Because in a state prison, if you have correction officers in a state prison, they don't give a fuck about the toilet paper. They don't give a fuck about the underwear. They don't care about the toothbrushes or the toothpaste or the little friggin' deodorant snap you get out of it. So they give you a care package if you're indigent, meaning if you're poor. So indigent means poor. If you're poor, they're going to give you a little sample bag. They'll say, here's the deodorant, brush your teeth, little scope thing. Just the basic necessities. And then, call your people, get some money, get it into your account, and be able to do your thing. But before you even know that, you don't know that you're in a private jail system. So the incentive, right, it's like Home Depot. You go to Home Depot, what do they say? We give you stock options, right? Okay. So every CEO in every private fucking facility is getting stock options. Which hence makes the reason why the CEO came up and said, I'm going to give you one more roll of toilet paper and that's it. Because now that money is coming out of their ass and their stocks. So they just say, hey, the less toilet paper you give out, the more money we get in the stocks and the returns on your fucking dividends. So now it made sense for the CEOs to say, well, wait a minute. They do this shit in the state. Yeah, you do that in the state, but this here comes out of the fucking stock price. All right, the more toilet paper we got to buy, less the stock price, okay? So the more people we can lock up, higher the stock price goes, okay? So hence explains why these CEOs treat these guys like shit now. It's because the private jail system has now told the CEOs that you guys will lose money out of your dividends or your royalty checks or whatever they do. And that's what it is. So the private jail system is nothing but a fucking racket. All right. Obviously, you can see. So when I went on the commissary, I go to Keefe. I've never seen Keefe sell toilet paper. They've never sold toilet paper. Never sold toilet paper. They've never sold socks. They've never sold underwear. They've never sold pillows. I've never seen anybody fucking buy a pillow. Because here's the deal. At the end of the day, if you were in a jail and you get in a fight, if it's a big enough complex, they're going to send you to a fucking mental health place, right? So they send you over there for a quick 14-day evaluation, right? So you're down there in the 14-day evaluation. Well, that next week's coming up. Your commissary's coming up. So you fill out your canteen, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Now you order your pillow, right? Oh, can't have that pillow. You might smother yourself. So then why the fuck is Keefe selling it then? It makes no sense. Nothing makes any sense because at the end of the day, it's all about the dollar now. That's why it makes no sense. Well, it actually does make sense, I guess, right? They kept feeding them money until the shit started to make sense. So if we wrap this all up, okay, and you look at the impact that hip-hop has had on America, in the jail systems, there's a man by the name of Ronald Fryer, and he's on a little bit of a mini investigation to see what the impacts, or if any, did hip hop have in the last 25 years or 30 years to society. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, Jay-Z's got a line that says, "Do you want to know why all the Jewish people own all the land in America, own 90% of the land in America? Here's how they did it: financial freedom, my only hope. You know what I mean? Fuck living rich and dying broke, and all this shit, right? So that's just one instance of a Jewish thing. Then you would go and see." You know, then when 9/11, you heard about the seven dances of Israelis. You know, you can see Rabbi Shmuley. You can see fucking kosher, that everything that they eat has to be, you know, butchered by a rabbi. Everything, okay? So I come upon this video, and there's these dudes in Israel, and they're saying, yeah, We're like the fucking best people on earth because we got America supporting us. We have America fight our wars. America supports us. And us Jewish people won't even talk to American unless they're Jewish. Okay? There's some codes where another Jewish person can't talk to another Jewish person. I mean, we'll only talk to another Jewish person. Okay? So, you know, just real quick, you see the, you know, Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens battle. Owens, Shapiro, Owens, again, Owens. I don't know if she is Jewish or did she convert or whatnot, but we seen Ivanka convert with Jared. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I'm getting at is that when you have all these little conspiracies about Israel controlling shit, and here's a quick fucking fun fact for you. Every president that gets elected, watch the first president they go to meet. What's the first president they go to meet? That's either, that most likely would be Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu. Okay? So, all this shit that they put on the social medias, the YouTubes, everything, and I've watched them, I went down the rabbit holes with the industry, you watched about the sacrifices, you watched about the Bohemian Grove, and before, you know, like, Ryan got, I don't know where the fuck Ryan Garcia got his information, but we all knew this, like, 15 years ago, okay? The Puff Daddy thing, like, making the band, I don't know if how good some people's memories are, but there was a point on that show where he had cameras, right? Not only the one camera that was filming the making of the band, but the other cameras when the producers left. Okay. So there's one part where Puff's in like in a studio, and he's with somebody. I don't know who he was with. But he's in a studio, and he's got a surveillance camera, and he sees people like in the backyard chilling. He sees fucking this, that, and the third chilling, and fucking. So, you know, I'm like, wow. I'm like, this guy's got cameras everywhere. And so fucking he sees Faith Evans, which now at this point, Big's dead, Pac's dead. And Faith, and now you know Faith Evans just came out of Missing You and all that shit, right? Okay, so we have that going on, and well, go ahead. You wanna do it there, Touch Puss? Have it. Do your thing. So fucking people, you have like fucking idiots up here, and they don't even use their blinker, and they yell at mass people because we don't use our fucking blinker. They never use their fucking blinker. So, Shit, I lost. Oh, so yeah. So Puffy, he's Oh, look at the fucking traffic, bro. Already. Look at the fucking traffic. You gotta be shitting me. Like, really? Is it a fucking eclipse that fucking serious to everybody? Like, it's a fucking eclipse. That's it. It's nothing fucking like. It's a fucking eclipse. Like, what the fuck? I don't see how all these people leave work, miss work, and fucking, you know, don't these kids gotta go to school? Don't you kids gotta go to school? What the fuck? Anyway, so Puff sees her smoking a cigarette. Faith Evans sees her smoking a cigarette on the stairs. In the middle of the session, he flies down, because he's in his house, flies down. What the fuck is going on with what happens with you people? What the fuck happens with you people? He's got to be drunk. Jesus fucking Christ! Like, what the fuck?
Oh, Jesus, buddy. This traffic is crazy. I don't even know if I want to go down to the dispensary right now.
I'm sorry, guys. I just see, like, all I see is, like, 3 miles of backed up traffic. I don't even know if I want to deal with it. I really don't. So, anyway, he runs down there, and he fucking sees Faith smoking. And he goes down there and rips the fucking butt out of her hand. Yo, you can't do that. You're going to ruin your voice. Smoke will fuck it all up. Next morning, you're going to be all horsed up. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, holy shit. So... before we know everything about this, you say, "Oh wow, he's really invested in his people." But come to look at it, it's like he's very controlling of his people and his investments. So he would have all his artists under one roof. So 112, Faith, who else? G-Dab. I mean, Mace. The list goes on. I don't think Mace was ever in. I think Mace knew more about Puffy. That's why he went to the fucking Lord. He said, "This motherfucker is the devil. I'm going to the Lord," right? So Mace goes over to the Lord, and Mace says one thing about Puffy. He goes, "That man will hide behind diamonds. All that man does is hide behind diamonds." So it really doesn't matter.
cut it off. And maybe take the bypass or something. I don't know.
Anyway, so he rips the cigarette out of her hand and, you know, goes up and explains that, like, you know, how he, you know, likes to take care of his artists, watch his artists, make sure they're doing the right thing. But at those moments, those were the first glimpses of how he was already filming people. This guy has been filming people since the start. I mean, he's been filming him right from the gym. You know, ever since he bought his mansion, whatever mansion that was, whether it was in L.A. or New York or wherever the fuck, he made sure that he was always filming somebody. Always filming. So, it was just a good glimpse to see how bad how bad he really is. I mean, if you take Mace's comment and says all he does is hide behind diamonds, it's obvious. I mean, the house that got raided in Humbly Hills, Florida, is under his daughter's name. Okay, he leaves his two sons there and a few coworkers to deal with the police while he's sitting at the airport, flies a ghost plane out to, you know, international fucking waters or whatever to what, dump the fucking service? I mean, I know the feds can get all that, but I'm sure there was other vital information that was on that plane that escaped the raid. Do you know what I mean? Because all this shit gets set up. It gets set up to the point where, yeah, they're going to, you know, somebody informed his lawyers that, yep, they're going to come raid it, and it's going to be a big show of force, and we're going to detain people. Hold on a second.
Morning. Thank you.
And so they're gonna detain people. So they detain people, and he leaves his kids there, leaves his fucking kids there. Like, who does that? Like, if I'm Puffy Combs, right, and I'm like, yo, and I'm talking to my lawyer, and I'm saying they're not gonna get arrested, then why even? What's the sense of you being at the airport? Like, why are you? Why are you not with your kids? Like, dude, that's fucking so horrible. I can't go to the dispensary. This is fucking shit. This is a shit show. This is a fucking utter complete shit show. It's backed up for miles. What are you fucking people fucking stupid? You guys are gonna be fucking stupid. It's a fucking eclipse. You're gonna see it in 20 more years. And if you didn't see it, look fucking 20 years ago, you'll see it. You must have saw it before. You fucking God, you guys are fucking on my weed run right now. Anyway, so we keep peeling back this onion, right? Little Rodney has got some allegations up the wazoo about what he's witnessed, okay? We all know Cuban Gooding Jr. is not coming out the woodworks because that fat bastard knows that he done some shit to that fucking kid, or was trying to do some shit to that kid. You seen the still photo with Cuban's hand around him and shit? Way too close. And if you look at Rodney, I thought Rodney was, I could have sworn I thought he might have been gay. So, I thought he might have been gay and shit. So, fucking... Yeah, it's crazy. And so he's coming out on the allegations. And what Puffy should have did, this is what Puffy should have did. He should have said, how much does Rodney want? Right, when they had that whole clause out from New York where, like, all the rape victims can come up and, you know, state their case and things like that. Somebody should have told Puffy to pay everybody off right now. Pay them all off. Because whatever Rodney Jones says is gonna and they're most likely gonna talk to Cassie and say, oh hey, what's up? What was going on here? What was going on there? And shit. So, even the Hooksick fucking exit is fucked. Wow, bro, this is fucking bananas to me right now. I can't even fucking fathom this shit right now. I really can't. So. Traffic's killing me. It's got me all off my game right now. So, little Rodney's got his thing going on, and Puffy should have paid him. Now that you crossed the Rubicon pretty much with this, that now Puffy, now somebody said, see, you should have paid him off because you could have shut him the fuck up. But now, well, you didn't, you can't pay him off because now it's an admission of guilt. So now you're fucked. So now you have to literally ride this all out. You're going to have to really, literally, legitly ride this all out. And, damn, the cops are pulling over some serious fucking shit. Maybe it's so much traffic. Thinking they can sneak everything through. He should have paid him off. Or, you know, and then in this way here, he could have had him, just paid off, shut up, written an NDA. Can't bring the case forward. You're getting your money. And that's that. Now he can't say a fucking word because it's admission to guilt. And
well, maybe I can't take the 28 bypass. Fuck it, let's roll it out. Let's rock it out. We're going anyway, fuck it. Just get high on the way back.
And then there's another girl where she was trafficked from Michigan to New York with God, I forget his name right now. Was it Asian Jack? No. So she was transported to Michigan, or New York to Michigan, or Michigan to New York. She gets, trained on, and these are all these allegations. Now, according to little Rodney, Diddy had it all wired up, right? And so we see the aftermath. But isn't it funny? Like, the first people on scene is TMZ. Like, TMZ is the all-seeing eye for the industry. You know what I mean? Like they're everywhere. So it's like every time somebody gets off a Hollywood elite superstar, movie star, NFL, whatever, that's in the fucking, to me, is in the system of how everything is going. They bring the camera there and say, see, yeah, we know what plane you're on. We'll always know this. We'll always know that. This camera will always be here. Every time you think that you're alone, you're fucking not, okay? This is big little lens right in front of you. So TMZ has the bird's eye footage of the raid. You know, and, like, nobody goes through the sneakers, like, all the millions of pairs of shoes. If I had a fucking SD card, I would put it in the sole of the shoe. Do you know what I mean? Like, how fucking dumb. You know, so some of it looks like it's a little bit of, you know, hey, let's just do this shock and awe campaign type of thing, right? When some further information has arisen, that Diego, the tequila, that has 87 billion under market cap, right, supposedly owes Diddy about $2 billion, okay? Diddy wants his money. Now, is that the reason why they're doing this? Is that so Diego doesn't have to pay the $2 billion to Puffy? Because I think there was a video, I'm not totally sure, but I'm sure there was a video. I know him in his little towel smoking weed and fucking, you know, and all this shit. And here's the deal, the weed was probably not really real. It was probably like Delta fucking 8 or something with like low THC. Or if not, just some fucking hemp joint. Or something just for the cameras, just to show, you know what I mean? But he's dancing, he's smoking, and he's having a grand old time. He's not worried about anything, right? Okay. So he's doing that. And then there's that video, and then there's one more video where he is talking to everybody and saying, oh yeah, who's with me? If you fuck with me, who's with me? All my billionaire friends, da 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 da. And I think he was talking about plans of buying Disney. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, this shit's crazy. So with the Diego, tequila, all that, Suge Knight, Puff, all this, he's too big. He's too big and he's too big to bring down in the sense of you want memorabilia of Puffy, I mean, the memorabilia of Biggie, of Tupac's fucking memorial every time the anniversary comes up, and da-da-da-da-da, and this, that, and the third. Why Mrs. Wallace didn't get fucking masters? Why the Locks never got their fucking masters? I mean, you know, to a long time after he's done ate off of them. Who knows if he's given 112 their masters or some of their stems? You know what I mean? It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. I mean, he literally just, you know, fucking sewned it all up. Took it. It was out there for the taking. And now you got these parties. You got all this shit coming about. He's an informant. And if he's an informant, who are they going after via through Sean? So who's the target subject? Off of Diddy. If you're going to make him an informant and give him a license to kill like you did Whitey Bulger, then what the fuck? Then who is the target? I mean, shit, the fucking state Massachusetts, Mass State Police gave Bulger a license to kill just to get the Italianos out of Rhode Island. Once that happened, he said, hey, fuck it, I can do this, I can do that. So it gave him a license to fucking kill. And is this what's going on with Puffy? So who is the intended target that Puffy's rubbing shoulders with, that the feds want to get their clutches into and start controlling them? Okay? Because, you know, there's a bullet fragment in some lady's face from when the Shine thing popped off to where she's willing to dig it out of her fucking head just to show that it was shot from fucking Combs or shot from a different gun or something like that. Maybe there might have been two guns with two different, you know what I mean, two different caliber guns. I have no idea, but the shit's starting to get really fucking thick. And like I said, on the last podcast, you won't know if he's being protected until everything comes to light and the courts get settled and they say, okay, this is what it is and that's what it is. Then you would know, okay, he's protected, well off protected, and things like that. There was a shooting off one of his yachts in the fucking international waters in the U.S. Virgin Islands, right? So they go off 20, 20, 40 miles off, 150 miles off coast, or, yeah, about 175, 50 miles to where they're in this international boundary. And then you can pretty much do whatever the fuck you want. You can throw somebody overboard. It fucking doesn't matter. You're in international water. Nobody owns it. So, there's a shooting on the boat with little Rodney, I think. There's a bunch of commotions, fucking, and he gets fucking scared for his fucking life, right? So the captain on the boat, I don't know if you guys ever seen the yacht shit that they had on Bravo, but is it the fucking little gray-haired guy that runs the boat there? That did all the other little cruises off to the Santilli Islands and shit? So, this is what I'm saying. If you start, so all the people that are on that boat, and all the girls, and all the guys, and the two girls that go with one guy, where are they, and why ain't they saying nothing? Where's the captain, and why he ain't saying nothing? Right? And we're not talking about one incident on a boat. We're talking a couple instances where like, the kid tried to, you know, essay a girl in a room because she told him how, where to go and how to get there. And she said, you know, because they're sitting and talking. He gives her a few drinks of Ciroc or something. And then literally just starts groping her, kissing her neck and shit. And she goes, oh, wait a minute. You better get your hand the fuck off my ass. All right. I don't know what you, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care how much power you got or how rich you are. I ain't that type of bitch or something. So later on that night, I think she was like a stewardess or something. She was like worked on the boat and stuff like that, right? So she's down in her quarters, probably in the kitchen. She gets calls saying, oh, well, the kid wants a place to sleep and he wants to sleep somewhere else in the boat. Now, this is his little premeditation thing about pinning this chick up in this room. So he gets in the room and he stands in front of the door. There's a scuffle. She gets away from him. She goes, tells the captain. Now, with the captain of the two incidences, either this is the same captain or is it a different captain every time that they go out on a cruise? She goes to the captain, tells him, I'm not sure, but I think the Florida
Police were contacted, but where maritime water law is different from the law of the land. All right, when you're on water, it's a total different fucking beast. Okay, different laws. And so they had to. That's why everything is done on water and boats, because the maritime law is so much different than the rules of the road. So on the two incidences, where's the captain of the boat? Okay, and was it the same captain when Rodney was out, and also the same captain when the chick was out there? That essentially got fired after, you know, putting up a stink. They said, okay, this girl's gonna go. Do you know what I mean? So, shit, I took the wrong fucking exit. So what is gonna happen? I mean, are they gonna literally tear down this guy? I mean, is Keefe D saying something? You know, Keefe D was saying a whole bunch of shit on Vlad TV about Puffy and everything else like that. So, obviously, the indictment's heading down. And I'll make a part two since this is getting a little drawn out. I apologize about the interruptions with the whole fucking traffic and shit, but it is what it is. And shout out to all those Twitter bots, man. I love y'all. Thank you so much for the analytics and everything else like that. But I don't know how you just joined Twitter on March 2024 and you got, you know, 53,000 followers with fucking 13,000 tweets. How do you do that in 30 days? And Mr. Elohim Musk doesn't seem to say, oh, well, you know, that's a little fucking strange. What, don't you think? Anyway, guys, I love y'all. See, I'll catch you in the next one. I love you. Peace. Part two coming up soon.